This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WPHT HD WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
All right, it's great to be with you today. We have so much to get to, and we have 45 minutes of nonstop talk underway here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Dr. E.J. Antoni is here with me today, and I'll tell you what, Dr. E.J. Antoni, thank you so much for making time today to be part of the show. You are a renowned economist, and we are very happy to have you join us, so thank you.
Oh, Rich, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And just so everybody knows, because we're hearing all the panic and all the prognostications about the debt ceiling and everything else, what happens tomorrow and why is this relevant to everybody?
Basically nothing. We're all going to continue going along with our lives as if nothing happened, because largely nothing will happen. I mean, this whole thing, frankly, is becoming so overblown. The world is not going to come to an end when the Treasury runs out of money. And even if it did, that's not going to happen for several more months.
And yet, the White House and Democrats are saying that this will be the end of days if the debt ceiling limit is not passed immediately, and that the Republicans are under no obligation whatsoever other than just vote yes. And yet, a lot of members of the Republican Party in Congress are saying, hey, listen, we have a responsibility here to use this as an opportunity to actually cut spending and look at the consequences of our national debt.
Right. You know, Rich, so oftentimes when we talk about federal level finance, everyone's eyes just kind of glaze over. So let's talk about household finance, okay? It's not a national debt, it's a credit card, and you've maxed it out. You got to go to the bank now and say, hey, look, I know I maxed out my card again. Is there any way I can get a credit limit increase so I can keep spending more? And the bank's going to look at your finances, and it's going to say, okay, you are spending way more than you're ever going to be able to pay back. No, you're not getting another credit limit increase until you can show us that you have made substantial spending reforms and that you are putting yourself on a path to solvency. And that's exactly what conservatives in the Congress are asking for.
I mean, it just seems pretty common sense, right? A path towards solvency, because what happens if at some point, Dr. E.J. Antoni, we don't address this problem of our national debt? I mean, what are the real negative consequences here?
I mean, eventually we get to a point where it's not just a default, but it's a liquidation of the federal government's bond portfolio. So what does that look like? It looks like the federal government unable to pay basically any of its bills. That is not an exaggeration. I mean, right now we have trillions of dollars of outstanding debt of the federal government. And that is only worth a dime as long as people believe that the federal government will pay it back. But increasingly, people are beginning to realize that that is unlikely to happen at some point in the future.
And yet you've got Janet Yellen out there saying that the United States will hit default if we don't automatically increase the debt limit on Thursday. And that scares people. They go, well, default, we can't default. And that's, you know, we're going to be hearing that for the next 24 hours.
I mean, we've defaulted so many times as a nation. We stand in default right now. Every time the country had a major war, we defaulted on our bond payments through World War II. In in the Great Depression, FDR devalued the dollar and changed the gold ratio. You used to be able, for example, to take a dollar to the federal government and say, give me a certain weight of gold. And FDR changed that ratio. That was a form of default. And then Nixon closed the gold window altogether. Again, we stand in default right now. We promised people that they could exchange their dollars for a specific weight of gold, and you no longer can do that today. That is a broken promise.
Yeah, well, you know what, Dr. E.J. Antoni, I'm glad you point out all of those historical moments. Dr. E.J. Antoni is my guest, research fellow for regional economics in the Center for Data Analysis at the Heritage Foundation, one of my favorite guests out in the world of economics, because you actually make it easy for people to understand, especially people like me who are not math people. So I appreciate that. Representative James Comer, who's, I think, a fantastic member of Congress, he said, our national debt is one of the biggest threats to our national security. And I liked how he phrased that, because you don't often hear people say it in that manner.
Certainly. And, you know, people really underestimate the volume of debt that is held by foreigners, for instance. And the reason that that is such an issue is because what happens if all those foreigners lose confidence in the federal government? They immediately try to liquidate all of those bonds. What does that do? It drives the interest rate on bonds through the roof. It makes it impossible for the federal government to borrow any additional money, including for defense. And at the same time, what is backing the dollar? Nothing. The only reason we even use the dollar in transactions is because it's illegal not to. On a little, that little piece of paper you have in your pocket that says this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private, that literally means if you do not accept this in a transaction, you go to jail. Well, now that the Treasury Department and the Fed are manipulating the dollar and using it for political purposes, especially on the international stage, like what they've been doing with Russia, for instance, you know, what they're essentially doing is shaking people's faith in the dollar. I mean, look at what they did with Russia and the central bank. They took dollars that were here in the United States but were owned by the Russian people, and they said, you are no longer allowed to access these dollars. Now, you may say that was perfectly justified because Putin's a monster. I get that. But you have a lot of foreign countries that are looking at this situation, and they're wondering, you know what? We are not woke enough for the Biden administration on climate change, on gay rights, on whatever issue, on abortion. What are the odds that the Biden administration is going to shut off our access to all our dollar assets in the United States? And all of a sudden, when you change the dollar from being a rock steady currency to a weapon of war, you no longer have a national, or rather an international, reserve currency. And what do you think happens when all of those dollars immediately flood back to the United States because no foreigner wants to hold them? Then you'll see a real inflation.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the other thing, too, I think people forget, is that all of this does have an impact on real inflation that we deal with on an everyday basis. I think people just don't ever talk about that. I mean, you do, but other people don't.
Well, I think a lot of it is because things like the Federal Reserve are so clouded in mystery, people don't talk about it because they don't understand it. And that is really, unfortunately, I think, a great condemnation of the education system here in the United States. It was not that long ago that literal presidential campaigns were waged over whether or not we should have a currency backed by gold or backed by silver, or whether we should have a central bank or we shouldn't. I mean, the American people's monetary literacy was among the best in the entire world. And sadly, today, no one understands what money is.
Yeah, it's so true. It's a great point. No one understands what money is or even respects the value of it. Listen, my friend, thank you. There'll be a lot more to discuss in the world of economics, I'm sure. You're always going to be my first call. Dr. E.J. Antoni, research fellow for regional economics in the Center for Data Analysis at the Heritage Foundation. Thank you, doctor. Always a pleasure.
Rich, pleasure's all mine.
All right, and as we continue, you know what, Matt DeSantis, let's play that James Comer clip, shall we? Because I thought it was excellent, and it goes a lot to the point of what EJ was making about our national debt. Take a listen.
Well, we hope that this is avoided. We hope that the Senate, Democrats and Republicans, will agree to spending cuts. Look, this has to stop. We cannot continue to operate with these types of deficits. Our national debt, is one of our biggest threats to our national security. China continues to have leverage over us because of the basic financial strength of their overall economy versus ours with respect to the national debt. So Republicans were elected with a mandate from the American people in the midterm elections. We campaigned on the fact that we were going to be serious about spending cuts. So the Senate's going to have to recognize the fact that we're not going to budge until we see meaningful reform with respect to spending.
Yeah, good for him. Excellent. 855-839-1210. Wanted to turn my attention a little bit to Davos because it does go along with this economic stuff. Obviously, it's a World Economic Forum, and there's a lot coming out of there. But I wanted to share a couple clips for you. Number one, Al Gore screaming about the urgency of controlling climate. And this is actually from Davos 2 years ago, believe it or not, or 3 years ago. And Al Gore, of course, loves the histrionics, loves the drama. He's been wrong about everything. He really has. I mean, there's a book out there that disputes everything Al Gore raised in his movies. I'll share some of that with you in a moment. But here's Al Gore screaming about the urgency of controlling the climate. Take a listen.
The sense of urgency next year is even greater than it is this year. This crisis, the climate crisis, is way worse than people generally realize. Way worse. It is getting worse still way faster than people realize. The burden to act that is on the shoulders of the generation of people alive today is a challenge to our moral imagination. But this is Thermopylae. This is Agincourt. This is the Battle of the Bulge. This is Dunkirk. This is 9/11. We have to rise to this occasion. We have the tools. We have the solutions. We know what to do. We lack the requisite political will. Political will for anyone who doubts that we as human beings have the capacity to rise above our limitations and transcend the difficulties we now face. Remember that political will is itself a renewable resource.
Got it? So it's worse than everything that's ever happened. He also went on another unhinged rant at this Davos, claiming that we're literally now boiling the oceans. By the way, I'm not opposed to boiling the oceans because sometimes I can't find hot water and I got a tea bag.
What if people need clean water?
Thank you.
Yeah.
We'll boil the ocean, get rid of the salt and, drink up. Plus, we're killing the whales with the windmills. Might as well boil some fish. You'll have dinner right there for everybody.
Sounds delicious.
I'd go to Wegmans today to buy a piece of fish. I'd rather just go right to the ocean, let it boil, and, you know.
I'd love to live in a world where I don't even have to cook the lobster. Just grab it and go.
Grab it and go. Because, you know, sometimes you go to the grocery store and, like, would you like us to steam it? You're like, I guess, because if I do it, I'm going to mess it up and the lobster's going to bite me. And you know what I mean? But if I can just reach into the ocean, pluck down and pull up a perfectly steamed lobster, I'm in. Sign me up. And if I can get some of those Red Lobster Cheddar Bay biscuits, I'm a happy man.
Those are good.
Those are good. I mean, it's probably the best part of Red Lobster. But anyway, here we go. Take a listen.
We're going to bring these emissions down. And just to put the science in a slightly different context, people are familiar with that thin blue line that the astronauts bring back in their pictures from space. That's the part of the atmosphere that has oxygen, the troposphere, and it's only 5 to 7 kilometers thick. That's what we're using as an open sewer. If you could drive a car straight up in the air at interstate highway speeds, you'd get to the top of that blue line in 5 minutes, and all the greenhouse gas pollution would be below you. We're still putting 162 million tons into it every single day, and the accumulated amount is now trapping as much extra heat as would be released by 600,000 Hiroshima-class atomic bombs exploding every single day on the Earth. That's what's boiling the oceans, creating these atmospheric rivers and the rain bombs and sucking the moisture out of the land and creating the droughts and melting the ice and raising the sea level and causing these waves of climate refugees predicted to reach 1 billion in this century. Look at the xenophobia and political authoritarian trends that have come from just a few million refugees. What about 1 billion? We would lose our capacity for self-governance on this world. We have to act. So in answer to your question, I would say we have to have a sense of urgency much greater than we have yet had. And we need and we need to make some changes.
You know, if you yell and scream, it makes it true. Did you know that?
What is a rain bomb, by the way?
It's like a bomb, but it's a rain bomb. Or maybe it's like a bonbon. Boy, I miss those back in the day. Just throwing that out there. Wait, is a rain bomb like the bomb cyclone they had in California that caused all that rain? Because the week before that, California was whining again about the drought that they were under. Remember that?
They constantly go back and forth between having too much water and too little.
Yeah, too much water and not enough water, and then too much water and then not enough. And both times, each time it happens, it's climate change's fault. You blame climate change for either condition, either drought or too much rain. Rain bombs or drought. See, Al Gore listed everything possible. We'll have sunny days and rainy days and dark days and cloudy days. Days where the humidity is perfect, days when it's not. I mean, just yelling things at everybody, you know what I mean? We'll have Tuesdays and Wednesdays. 1 billion people. He really is Dr. Evil, I'm telling you. He truly, truly is. 855-839-1210. Actually, do you have the official Davos sounder that I sent you last night? It just never gets old.
Actual audio of Klaus Schwab.
Actual audio of Klaus Schwab and his buddies enjoying the opening ceremonies of Davos, of the WEF.
It's exclusive audio just for the Zeoli show.
You know, well done, Matt DeSantis, to unearth that secret audio. I really... Well, you had a fly to Davos commercial, which is not easy to do.
No, I was the only one that actually took a plane that wasn't private.
It was literally an entirely open, empty commercial airplane to Davos.
I also had to promise Al Gore I'd sacrifice my firstborn to climate change.
You fed him to a polar bear.
Yeah.
That's what's going to have to happen right there. Oh, man. All right, we got a lot more to go. I'm just getting warmed up here. But, hey, listen, you know, if you're ever hurt in an accident, you need a lawyer on your side. You got to have a guy who's going to fight for you, and that's my buddy Tom Skopinich, scopelawyer.com. You know why Tom Skopinich is so good at what he does? Because he knows the game that the insurance companies play. And the insurance companies have one thing in mind, which is their bottom line. It's not you. But if you've been hurt, you want somebody who's going to fight for you so you can maximize your recovery and your value. And that's Tom Skopinich. It's what he does. He's licensed in New Jersey and also Pennsylvania with an office in Lansdale, Montgomery County. And he's been a friend of mine for years, and he's been a sponsor of the show for years. And he is the guy to call if you've ever been hurt in an accident. He'll maximize your recovery, getting you the fair value of your case. See, he used to work for and on behalf of the big insurance companies. So he knows their tactics. He knows the games that they play. And he can use those tactics for you, to fight for you. So reach out to him today. Just go to scopelawyer.com, S-C-O-P-E, lawyer.com, or call him at 215-624-2211. 215-624-2211. Do it today and have my buddy Tom Skopinich fight for you. Get what you deserve. scopelawyer.com.
Keel and Company tomorrow morning, 6 till 10. Rich Zeoli now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
When you came in, the air went out. And every shadow filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you. Now I'm the kind to sit up in his room second eyes filled up with blue. I don't know what you've done to me, but I know this much is true. I wanna do bad things with you.
To the show. Glad you are here today. 855-839-1210. I got a lot to get to, and I got a short runway here because trying to jam it all in is just never easy. But a couple more audio clips for you regarding Davos. Here is Klaus Schwab talking about the future and what the future is, and regarding capitalism and social responsibility, and if anybody has any theories or thoughts that perhaps, you know, all of this with climate change and everything has to do with destroying capitalism, you know, like what I've said in the past, for example, take a listen.
Who will really command the fourth industrial revolution and its technology like artificial intelligence?
What's your sense of who's best placed at this time to lead the world into the fourth industrial revolution? Because you pretty much created this term. We're seeing the kind of technological strides that China has made with Huawei, with the 5G technology. Do you believe that this could potentially be China's time once again?
We should make here again a differentiation. On the one hand, we have state capitalism. On the other hand, we have shareholder or private capitalism. So it's a clash between two systems. I believe that state capitalism in the short term provides certain advantages because you can mobilize in a concentrated way a lot of resources to reach a specific objective. But I believe that the future is not state capitalism or shareholder capitalism. The future is what I call stakeholder capitalism, which is combined with a social responsibility.
All right. Now, here is Colombian President Urrego talking about how capitalism helped create everything Al Gore was screaming about, and how capitalism is really the problem that we have to overcome. Take a listen.
And it's something that is not often mentioned, capitalism. Can the capitalism that we have known in the last 30, 40 years overcome the climate crisis that the capitalism helped create? It's a rhetorical question, but it also makes sense, because if the answer is no, then we're wasting our time as we reach the no return point. The capitalism that we know nowadays has a driving force and logic, and that is to increase our profits in such a way, and that's how we talk about history, to regulate everything without political or social boundaries. And that's the one we have. This has resulted in some sort of global anarchy. We have individual capitalists who try to make the most profit, and this is linked to their capital and productivity. So to achieve more in less time, and productivity is linked to energy. And almost the only source of energy to increase profit is carbon, oil and gas, coal, oil and gas. And this has resulted in a change in our atmosphere. We have to put an end to this if we wish to live in our planet. Can our capitalism do this? Based on the current data, we won't be able to do so. Therefore, perhaps we should do the following reflection. If capitalism is unable to do so, either humanity will die with it, or humanity will overcome capitalism so that we can live in our planet.
Capitalism is the problem. I told you, I've been telling you this, that it is the whole climate change nonsense is an agenda designed to destroy the pillars of capitalism. under the guise of protecting the climate. The climate. By the way, worth noting, Klaus Schwab actually wrote the book on stakeholder capitalism. The book is entitled Stakeholder Capitalism, A Global Economy That Works for Progress, People, and Planet. And it shall be my gift to everybody I know.
It's a shame Christmas just passed, darn.
Damn it! I forgot to give it to my dearest and dearest friends. I'm slipping. I really am. Now, did you have to learn that at Harvard? Stakeholder capitalism? Was that one of the economic theories you had to suffer through?
It's something that came up in class occasionally.
I'm sure. I can only imagine. Poor guy. We've had some great tweets today, by the way. We may have to award a couple. First of all, let's see here. Johnny says, the Al Gore fake intensity and phony gravel tone.
Wait. First, before you read them.
Oh, okay.
Who won social media?
Well, I'm going to give this one to Johnny. The Al Gore fake intensity and phony gravel tone. He should read your book, The 7 Principles of Public Speaking, Proven Methods from a PR Pro. Obviously, if anyone plugs my book, we're going to give it to him. But wait, there's more. I've got another one for you, Matt DeSantis.
All right.
Who won social media?
Amy Princess of Profanity says, now we know why the whales are washing up on the shore. The oceans are burning. Someone had too much Adderall as a kid. Al Gore. Well done. Excellent stuff. And you had one, too, from our buddy Tom Hoskins.
Yeah, he has a great one. I'll retweet it so you can see it. It's a visual, but it just says Matt DeSantis' carbon-free flight to Davos. It's a little kid with a toy jet.
It's like a wooden toy plane. Oh, it's so great. Joe Manchin's in a little bit of hot water because of a stupid thing he said at the WEF yesterday, and now he's apologizing for what he said. And I think I played you the original clip yesterday on the show, but just to refresh your memory, we'll do it again for you. This is Manchin Senator, it's a United States Senator Joe Manchin right now in Davos. The problem we have, cut 13.
The problem that we have is the open press system and basically all the platforms. So if you're able to have five platforms, social platforms, that you can basically personify the extremes, somebody who is extremely right or extremely left, and it seems like that is the majority speaking, they're not the majority, but they're basically driving everybody to make a decision. What side are you on? Are you on this side or this side? And in America, there's only one side, the American side. It's not the Republican side or Democrat. We should be coming together to solve the problems from a different angle.
All right. And here's Manchin apologizing as he speaks with Maria Bartiromo in Davos, cut 14.
I totally apologize because it was I didn't explain it properly. That was a problem. The open press that we have, which is absolutely the bedrock of democracy. OK, but there's so much access. So it used to be to where something was said and it was accepted and that was it. Now it's said to where you can find a social media platform. You can find somebody that'll agree with you.
Speaking of disinformation, which has been a big part of the theme of Davos, well, little Brian Stelter had lots of little clips, including a stupid thing. Are you laughing at cut 16?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love this.
It's incredible.
There was also a fake story about me being only a prepubescent boy. Who doesn't know how to ask girls out to the table? That's something that's just totally. How do I just prove that? Here's little Brian Stelter whining about the fake news that he was subjected to. Cut 16.
Hang on, I can't breathe. All right,
I'll tell you a brief, funny, maybe not funny story. So I leave CNN, and there's a crazy website that posts an article saying I was arrested by military police. And then I have a fact-checking email, and I don't know whether to reply to the fact-checker and bother with this, right? Same website a month later says I've been executed at Guantanamo Bay. So the fact-checker emails me again, and I say, well, do you want to take my pulse? How do I disprove that I wasn't executed? And so to me, that is amusing and ridiculous.
He was right when he started, and this is what he said.
I'll tell you a brief, funny, maybe not funny story.
It was not funny. You're 100% correct, Brian.
I actually think it's pretty funny.
For all the wrong reasons.
There's a story about me being executed at Guantanamo. Maybe what am I supposed to do with that? And yet at the same time, I was telling people in high school, and they were like, this is so cool. How come your voice keeps cracking, though? Is that why they let you out? Was it just cruel and unusual punishment to the other prisoners there?
So your suggestion is that the Guantanamo Bay execution wasn't the worst rumor Brian Stelter's ever had to deal with?
No, I mean, in the parlance of his life and his professional career, I would go around bragging about that if I were him. Do you know I was executed at Guantanamo Bay? Yeah, I was also fired by CNN, but pretty cool that I was killed at Guantanamo, am I right?
I thought his career was dead for a while, but he's resurged.
Yeah, turns out he was just dead.
Yeah. You think that's why CNN fired him? They just didn't understand what was happening? He wasn't actually fired. They just discontinued his paycheck and he stopped showing up.
Yeah, they're like, did you hear Stelter was killed at Guantanamo Bay? Nope, but you know what? Let's just take him off payroll. His show sucks anyway. Nobody watches it.
Yeah, it's not like they have a girlfriend that he has a girlfriend they could call to corroborate the story.
I mean, but this is what, there is this one girl that I really like, and I was going to ask her out, but then I thought if she saw the story, so I sent it to her. Like, the only person who sent that story around was Brian Stelter. Nobody else shared the story of Brian Stelter getting executed at Guantanamo Bay except for Brian Stelter.
He was just so flattered that someone was talking about him.
Yeah, that somebody wrote about him somewhere. He's like, look, Mom! Mom, look at me! Mom, Meatloaf, I got killed at Guantanamo. This is so cool. Do you think I'll go to the harvest dance now? Brian, sit down. Use your Oxy cream.
No one loves Brian Stelter more than us, and we haven't heard from him in years. So maybe not years, but it's been several months. So I'm just glad that he's all right. He's back in the news.
Yes, we're so happy to have him back and to know that he wasn't executed at Guantanamo
safe.
Bay.
Yeah,
he's safe and sound. 855-839-1210. I got a lot more too. We have so much more to get to, but. I want to tell you about my buddy, Dr. Mike Venaria. Bridget went there today, as a matter of fact, and she saw my buddy, Rob Ortiz, who was there today. It's a family affair and a friend affair as well, because Dr. Mike Venaria is a great guy, a great friend, a great dentist, and a great friend of this show. So go see him today. Dr. Mike Venaria is a terrific guy and the master of dental implants. He really is. There's no one better when it comes to dental implants. That's why patients travel from all over, from Pennsylvania, Texas, California, and he has two offices to serve you. Cinnaminson and Woodbury, both right over the bridge. So what are you waiting for? Whether it's pediatric, general, cosmetic dentistry, or those very complicated dental implants, Dr. Mike Venaria will take great care of you. And if you need pain-free root canal treatment, well, he can take care of that as well. Plus, also emergency dental treatment as well. So reach out to him today, VANARIA, VenariaDental.com. You'll see he's a great conversationalist, smart guy, funny guy, has a lot to say, and you'll appreciate the fact that the office is great music playing, and everybody there is just dedicated to your care. Not cost, they're dedicated to your care, and that's what makes him different. Dr. Mike Venaria, my dentist, the master of dental implants, VenariaDental.com.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Rich Cioli.
from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter, on Talk Radio 1210 and the free Odyssey app.
Wednesday night, 855-839-1210 is the number. All right, so wanted to mention this. This just kind of came out and broke just a short time ago, and I wanted to share it with you because I always like to bring you breaking news on the show. Obviously, we plan, but then, of course, something happens. Jonathan Turley tweeting out, you know, basically that Fox is reporting that the DOJ is now saying that the Justice Department officials did go to the residence and remove the discovered material, but it is still not clear if justice officials oversaw or witnessed the searches. And there's no reason, as Jonathan Turley says, why the Department of Justice or the White House does not give a more complete and detailed account on these points. Clearly, what the DOJ said and did in the search would not undermine the investigation. For example, he says, if you are going to the residence, is the Department of Justice denying the Wall Street Journal account that the FBI was told not to conduct the searches? Was this simply to collect the found documents? The Department of Justice does not have to hold a press conference to allow for a full account of what occurred. It can simply answer the question of reporters and say that the White House is free to give a full account of what occurred in those searches. But Jonathan Turley is a very smart man. He's a professor of constitutional law. And he said, it is not surprising, though, that the DOJ went to the residence to collect the documents, since transport of classified material triggers its own protocols. However, it is not clear whether justice officials were present for any of the searches. Well, look, you know, I mean, obviously, as you can tell from the clips we played today from the White House press briefing, and DeSantis, I think we covered all of them, right? I don't think we left any on the table, did I?
No, we got everything.
This is not going away anytime soon. And as I played for you from that CNN clip about Joe Biden and all of his meetings with Hunter Biden's business associates coming out, I reported about the Chinese money coming into the Penn Biden Center before anybody else did last week. And now, of course, everybody's talking about it. But I talked about that last week. So I was way ahead of the curve on that. I know Tim sent me a note on that. Tim, I covered all that, man. They were raking in donations. The only reason why they put Joe Biden and paid him whatever they paid him, close to $1 million for 2 years, was to use him as a vehicle to raise money. And that's exactly what happened. And that money came from China. And why do you think it did come from China? It's like why Joe Biden was charging his son Hunter rent that was $49,900 a month. The rent is too damn high. Can we all agree on that point? Matt DeSantis, can we have the rent is too damn high guy, please?
Yeah, give me 1 second. I'll get
we
it.
Should all agree on this point that if you're charging your son $49,900 a month in rent, that is just too damn high. And as I pointed out, that's the exact amount of money that was returned to Hunter Biden from the business office deposit that he got back So one might argue that this is all a giant money laundering scheme to get money into the hands of Joe Biden by charging his son $49,900 a month, because you can account for it as rent, even though it's actually not rent. It represents the 10% for the big guy. Just throwing that out there, because the rent is too damn high. The rent is too damn high. All right, 855-839-1210. We are, you know, we should also do our movie thing today, too. Don't worry about the rent guy. It's all right. We'll do it again tomorrow.
We'll do it live.
What's that?
I have him if you want him.
Oh, sure. Why not? Let's do it.
Enjoy.
Because the rent is too damn high, party. People working 8 hours a day and 40 hours a week with some a third job. Women can't afford to take care of their children, feed their children breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
People can't afford to buy crack and hookers.
Food on the table
and get benders in Vegas.
This is politics as usual.
Snort cocaine off a hooker's
playing
ass.
Silly game. It's not going to happen. The rent too damn high movement. The
rent too damn high.
They can't afford to pay their rent. They're being laid off right now as I speak. They can't
They're losing contracts in Ukraine, in Russia, in Kazakhstan.
Child stomach just growled. Did you hear it? Got to listen like me.
Pass out in swimming pools. Mr. Left their laptops at repair shops. The rent is too damn high. You gotta update it to modern standards. It's like when they, you know, when they remake a movie or a song or something to the modern sensibilities of the day. You know what I mean?
I miss that guy. He was great.
Guy was my favorite. Was my choice for mayor of New York City. Obviously, just for the sheer entertainment value of all of it. Want to hear of a guy who discovered it takes 5 days for his Hummer to fully charge? His EV Hummer? This is amazing. This, I mean, I know people that are planning a trip. My dear neighbors are planning a trip to Florida in their Tesla.
And, good luck. Know,
that's what I said. Good luck. I said, we should get there by the year 2037.
I took an EV to Cape Cod from South Jersey. It should have been like a 5 hour ride at most. And it ended up taking me, I think, 10 hours because I had to stop and charge the thing three times.
Yeah. And I just like ride a bicycle. You get there faster, I think.
It would certainly be less frustrating.
Well, here's this guy discovering it'll take 5 days for his Hummer EV to charge. Take a listen.
This is a brand new Hummer EV, and it's got the largest battery. You can buy 250 kilowatt hours of battery in this truck. Now, it's Sunday morning, and let's see how long it takes to charge it just using the truck's charger and plugging it in into a standard wall outlet. So I've got the charger. I've got the plug, and keep in mind, it's Sunday morning, so let's plug her in, and let's see what the truck says about how long it will take to charge. Time to complete charge, Friday at 8:30 a.m., and range increase is 1 mile per hour.
How about that? 1 mile an hour. That's amazing. To hear the feel-good story of the day. So my buddy Michael Pelka texted this to me this morning, and the Washington Post is such a farce. I know that our buddy Johnny always says that the NPR is beyond parody, but I mean, truly, there's so much to this Washington Post story, the feel-good story of the day today. The Washington Post, the far right-wing Washington Post, actually did an entire story on Joe Biden ordering a hamburger. They did an actual story on this, that Joe Biden ordered a hamburger. I kid you not. And we have a little bit of audio on this. Take a listen.
Hamburger, Brittany speaking. How may I help you?
Hi, Brittany. This is Joe Biden. Now, I'd like to place an order for lunch if I could, okay?
I've got great news. 10.4 million people have applied to start a new business. That's more than any time in American history in a single period. 10.4 million new small businesses. The vice president and I have lunch once a week, and I'm going to order from a small business right now.
Hi.
Hi.
What would you like to have?
Well, I'd like to have a bacon cheeseburger with American cheese and a side of French fries. We'll have someone come pick it up, okay? How's business at Ghost Burgers these days?
It's pretty good.
Well, good. Okay, I'm looking forward to having lunch.
That's crazy. Ooh, I'm shaking.
The story from the Washington Post, where democracy dies in darkness. Ready? Biden calls in Ghost Burger order leaves employees speechless. Tim Carman, who is paid to write this drivel for the Washington Post, goes on and on for, I believe it might be possibly 25,000 words. I'm not quite sure, but I can't seem to get to the bottom of the story of the gushing of Joe Biden ordering a freaking hamburger. This is what I mean. This is the Washington Post. What a joke. This is truly amazing here. Tim Carman from the Washington Post. He's the food writer. And this is it. And he writes how the employee says, I got a little starstruck when I answered the phone, and I'm normally not like this, but I heard the voice and I'm like, no way, no way, no way. Do you know how many people how many people can do a Biden impression are going to be punking Ghost Burger from now on after this? Like, if I could do a Biden, and not the way I do Biden, but the real way that people like Joe Conklin do Biden, I would be calling Ghost Burger DC right now and ordering food. Be like, you know, it's Joey, my dad always said, if you like a burger, order another burger. No joke. And they have that AI that can take your voice and then create a whole thing out of it, right, Matt DeSantis, in like 3 seconds?
Yeah, it only needs a few seconds worth of audio in order to like recreate your voice, and then they'll have you say whatever they want.
Yeah, so how long until somebody orders like 500 burgers from Ghost Burger, and then, you know what I mean, it's just AI doing it with Joe Biden's voice?
They build Joe Biden.
They should. Why not just add it to the national debt? Who cares, right?
The video is so bad, too. Like, they make this poor employee pretend as though there's no expectation that the person ordering on the other end of the phone is Joe Biden. But, I mean, he must know. There's a huge camera crew there.
Yeah.
This is HD quality. Gotta
know this, right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah, there's a giant camera crew there. But wait, it may just be another Joe Biden.
It could be anybody.
We just wanted to get your reaction when a Joe Biden calls up. It's just, here's something else too. You know, I haven't spent much time on this, but Kamala Harris is so dumb. I mean, she really is. She's so dumb. But she is, though. I mean, she's so dumb. What'd she have, the Golden State Warriors there
with her in the
White House? Is that what happened?
Yeah, they're celebrating their NBA championship.
And do we begin with the flashback of the Golden State Warriors, or
no.
Do we just start with Kamala Harris?
You have to start with Kamala so you can hear what she says and why she loves the team so much.
Is it Kamala or Kamala?
Depends if Joe Biden's pronouncing it.
Depends if Joe Biden is pronouncing it or not. All right, well, here's Kamala or Kamala, depending on how you say it. You say potato, I say potato. His vice president of the United States, welcoming the Golden State Warriors to the White House, cut 5.
My pride in the Warriors today is not only because they win, but because these players, their coaches, and this entire organization consistently stand for the principles of equity, equality, and justice.
Now make a note
All right.
of that. Equity, equality, and justice. That's why she
equity,
likes the
Equity, equality, and justice. And then we'll do a little flashback to January 2022, way back when, Matt DeSantis. January 2022, the owner of the Golden State Warriors says this about the Muslim Uyghurs being held in concentration camps in China.
Nobody cares about what's happening to the Uyghurs, okay? You bring it up because you really
what?
Care, and I think
what
that's
mean,
nice that you
cares?
Care. The rest of us don't care. I'm just
well,
telling
really
you a
care?
Very hard.
Wait, wait,
I'm
you're
telling
saying
you
personally don't care?
I'm telling you a very hard, ugly truth, okay? Of all the things that I care about, yes, it is below my line. Okay? Of all the things that I care about, it is below my line.
Disappointing.
And the organization consistently stands for equity, equality, and justice. Except not for you people, the Uyghurs, but everybody else. Except you Uyghurs. All right? I don't really care about you. Excellent stuff. All right, we got a big fourth and final half hour coming up straight for you because we're bumped for basketball tonight. But before I go into the next hour, let me just thank our friends at Cooper University Healthcare, South Jersey's leading academic health system. Cooper is leading the way on cancer care through the MD Anderson Cancer Center at Cooper. And they are doing life-changing work there. They truly are. There is a Cooper location near you. So if your family needs medical care for any reason, or just needs routine care for any reason, Cooper University Healthcare should be your first choice. That's where the Zioli family goes for all of our healthcare needs, and we're very, very happy about our relationship with Cooper. That's because Cooper is committed, compassionate, complete. So for an appointment today, call 800-8-COOPER. They welcome and care for patients from all 50 states and 35 countries. So it's truly world-class medicine. Whether it's the MD Anderson Cancer Center, Cooper, as well as their comprehensive neurological institute, you will have world-class care. 800-8-COOPER or cooperhealth.org. Cooper is committed, compassionate, complete.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
It is our fourth and final hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Great to be with you on this, Wednesday. The week is flying by. Really good. Always good on hump day. Abbreviated show tonight, sad to say, but basketball is coming on. What can we do? Nothing. We power on. We press on. And don't cry for me, because I'm going to have dinner with the kiddos tonight. Besides, it's been a day. It's been a week. This week is going full throttle. We covered a lot today, of course, Davos, the elites, the hypocritical elites flying on their private jets to Davos to talk about how to control the world. But of course, not control the world, just come up with the world's solutions, which is not at all controlling the world. Just love it. And Al Gore's histrionic meltdowns throughout the show. If you missed a second of it, please go back and get the podcast, because you won't miss a beat. But... oh, and also, of course, the White House's the disastrous press conference by Karine Jean-Pierre. You know, there's so many things I love about being back in afternoons. And such a nice comment today by our buddy Sue Alberici on Twitter today, who sent me a nice note before the start of the show today. And she said, you know what, Rich? She said, just want to say I was a bit concerned about the chemistry of your show without the usual suspects. But, Rich, you are better than ever, and it's nice to be giggling my way through work in the evening again. Sue, you're welcome. And first of all, while I do miss the old crew, all I can say is I'm actually awake in the afternoons. No, I'm not kidding. I mean, there's a thing called a chronotype. It's true. It's a scientific thing where you're either a morning person or a night person. And I'm not a morning person. I mean, my brain does literally not turn on until about 11 a.m. You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding. My friend almost hit me with her car today because I was so out of it as I was walking the kids back from school from doing drop-off. Walking back from dropping the kids off at school, I should say. No, I'm not a morning person. And people send me things in the morning, which I look at later in the afternoon because I can't even think about it. But it is nice. But the other thing I love about being back in afternoons is the fact that news always breaks in the afternoon. And I always get to come on pretty much right after the disastrous White House press briefing happens. I mean, I'm going to miss White House fembot Karine Jean-Pierre. She's not long for this world, obviously. And I will miss her. There will be a tear running down my cheek when it's all over for her. No doubt about it. Anyway, more disasters, no question about it. So we have a lot to discuss in this last half hour. Okay, let's see here now. First, let me begin with let me just play this for you. This lives at TikTok. This is a male transgender activist who claims that fake man-made earmuffs, kids, if the kids are in the car, it's after 6, they should not be in the car anymore, but just in case, earmuffs, but you got to hear the nuttiness, of course, and I myself can't actually confirm this or dispute this. I have no way of knowing this. Let's just take a listen, shall we? Why not? Yeah, go ahead.
People are really out here saying that trans choo-choo is the inferior product. I'm sorry. We have the designer, expensive, bougie coochie. Like, you're telling me if someone says, would you like this free paper bag that came with my groceries, or would you like this $35,000 bag? You're taking the designer Birkin, babe. Like, seriously, you're just mad because trans girls don't want to put trash like you in our designer bags.
Got it? Bougie coochies. By the way, bougie coochies was my Bengals cover band in college. I don't know if you know that or not, but we were huge. You know what, DeSantis, you should probably dump that as a matter of... Bougie Coochie! We are Bougie Coochie, and we're here tonight. Walk like an Egyptian. I wonder if you could do that song today. It might be considered racist or something like that. Anyway, here's not all students who menstruate are female. Minnesota House Representative Sandra Feast, while campaigning to put menstrual products in the boys' bathrooms in schools, I don't know if they've budgeted for this or not. I just don't know. I don't know what the budget's like in the school district, but usually budgets are tight. But you know what? This is the kind of nuttiness that's out there today. I call it nuttery. This is a actual elected representative to the Minnesota House of Commons or whatever they call it out there. Take a listen.
I would encourage the committee to vote no on this amendment for a few reasons, practical, financial, social, emotional. First, there are a lot of schools that are moving towards gender-neutral bathrooms, and if we add female, we might become obsolete very quickly. Second, not all students who menstruate are female. We need to make sure that all students have access to these products. There are obviously less non-female menstruating students, and therefore their usage will be much lower. And that was actually calculated into the cost of this and how much we decided to fund it. And so we do not expect that the non-female menstruating students will use these products as mm-hmm. much as the students using female bathrooms, mm-hmm. but it's important to have them there. And that brings me to the social emotional reasons for that. These students who are not female, who menstruate, face a greater stigma and barrier to asking for these products. And so providing them in an easily accessible place in all student bathrooms is particularly important for those students.
Right. Right. You know, somebody made a comment about why do these annoying people think anyone cares about their fragile little emotions? It's a good question, but this is an elected representative who's trying to put menstrual products in the boys' bathrooms in schools, right? I'm just saying. So we should care about that from the perspective of that this is an elected official doing this. This isn't just some whack job on Twitter, although she also is a whack job on Twitter. I'm also pointing that out to you. Would you like some other pronouns? Here we go. This is again from Libs of TikTok.
This is Cypress. And Clown mentioned not having people use clown or clown self pronouns for clown. And so in this situation, I would make sure that I exclusively use clown pronouns to talk about Cypress. So Cypress knows that I see clown self for who clown is. And I want clown to be hearing those pronouns.
Right. So clown self for who clown is, and I want clown to be hearing those pronouns. So now clowns have freaking pronouns. What about serial killers who dress like clowns and alternatively go from crying to laughing every second of their lives? I'm curious about them. Puts the lotion in the basket. Of course, this all comes after our friends over at Project Veritas unearthed something for us, which is very, very important to know about. This is a man, I'll tell you what, I just can't get enough of this stuff. I really do. This is Project Veritas put this out on Twitter at Teaching Lab HQ, which is, if you open up at Teaching Lab HQ, it is described as a nonprofit organization that works to close the educational opportunity gap through teacher-led professional learning, hashtag ready to engage. Well, the director of this, at Dr. Quentin Bostic, admits violating state law and selling critical race theory curriculum to schools. If you don't say the word critical race theory, you can teach it. I'm an evil salesman. They, meaning the state, have no clue. He, meaning Governor Brian Kemp of Georgia, is such an idiot. Here it is, Quentin Bostic, PhD. So I guess you better call him Doctor. He actually has Doctor in his Twitter handle. Doctor. I didn't spend 7 years in evil medical school to be called Mr. Thank you very much.
If you don't say the word for the race theory, you can technically teach it.
And it's amazing how you've gotten the schools to purchase the curriculum.
And they don't even know what's going on. I was a good salesman, but I'm also an evil salesman. Like, so bad.
So the public schools have the state funding, right?
They do.
So the state is basically paying for your curriculum without knowing what's in it. Does your curriculum have critical race theory in it?
Yep.
And the government doesn't know.
And they have no clue. And I'm like,
in order to make sure it's under the radar, how do you?
This is DEI work.
Schools in Georgia have your curriculum.
Two districts actually. Two districts. Two counties, and then Cobb County.
Wait, your curriculum that is in the schools here in Georgia is just kindergarten?
It's one of here just kindergarten. Yeah.
But that's so cool. So your CRT stuff is
kindergarten.
is so good. It's like, he's like such an idiot. Like, his wife is out of summer education here. She was a former teacher.
What do you think she would do if she found out there's her team?
Oh, I would get nailed, for sure.
What about these parents who might push back after getting it?
Who cares? Not part of the system. I can't lose my, I'm not gonna lose my job over it. Worst that's gonna happen, y'all gonna be upset. And I shared some knowledge. That's the worst that's gonna happen.
See that? The worst that's gonna happen is that you're gonna share, you're gonna be upset.
In school, in a classroom.
This is what happens. I mean, the video is very long. I can't play the whole thing on the air for you, but I'll retweet it for you so you can see it. Canadians advised to limit alcohol to 2 drinks per week. When are we going to just invade them? We can all get drunk and go in there and take over Canada in about, I give it a day. I really do. I give it about a day. The new guidance is maybe a bit shocking. Drinking 2 alcoholic drinks per week is deemed low risk, according to new government-backed guidance in Canada. A new report by Health Canada says completely cutting out alcohol is the only risk-free approach to stay healthy. The advice is a steep drop from previous recommendations published in 2011, which allowed a maximum of 10 drinks a week for women and 15 drinks per men. This is from the BBC. Now, this is, of course, because Canada loves to control people, and it's what Canada does. They control people all the time because woke Justin Trudeau, who's a gigantic man baby, and no relation to Fidel Castro. Probably not, anyway. Matt DeSantis, just saying. Anyway, woke Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, loves to control people every step of the way, telling you what to put in your body, what not to put in your body, what you can put in your body, what you can't put in your body. All of it. All of it. And it's just pathetic. Anyway, I say we have 4 drinks and go in there and we could kick some Royal Canadian Mounty butt, if you know what I mean. Anyway, all right, we got a lot to get to. We're running out of time. The show is just, you know, in one of those situations where we're running out of time. So it's all right. Let me do this. Let me tell you about our friends at NJ Diet, njdiet.com. They're fantastic. They do a great job. They will help you lose weight because it's real, actual weight loss. It's real weight loss designed for your body and your body's biochemistry, your unique body chemistry. And that's why it works, because it's all natural. There's no shots, no hormones, no prepackaged foods, none of that stuff. And the best part is, of course, it's guaranteed. 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days time guaranteed. And there's a center near you, or you can go online for live online video consultations at njdiet.com. Or give them a buzz at 855-5-NJ-DIET. 855-5-NJ-DIET. You'll lose the weight. You'll feel great. And you'll feel... Not only will you feel great because you look great, but you're actually going to be healthier too, because when you lose weight, all kinds of different things happen. First of all, your risk of COVID goes down dramatically. That's been proven. But also too, I mean, diabetes, high cholesterol, your love handles. I mean, all these things matter. So njdiet.com, go there today. You'll lose the weight for good, 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days time. 855-5-NJ-DIET or njdiet.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The Scioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
All right, as we wrap up things here this half hour, I wanted to share with you something regarding student loans. Because, you know, Governor Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania did something very interesting today, something I actually agree with. He eliminated an executive order eliminating 4-year degree requirements for about 92% of all jobs in the Commonwealth. Good. That's great. I mean, what does a college degree really prove in this day and age? And, you know, we've talked a lot about this, too. Not everybody needs to go to college. And I think that the emphasis on degree requirements puts colleges at an unfair playing field in terms of their ability to charge, because they go, well, you need us if you want to get a job in this sector or that sector. And so obviously that's a problem. It's a real problem. And one thing that I really do appreciate about this executive order, and again, I'm shocked Josh Shapiro signed it, because typically Democrats are always in bed with unions and teachers unions and academia, and they think it's, you know, exalted and everything like this. But it's like also licensing requirements. You know, the state issues licensing requirements for a lot of different things, which are really just ways to get people to pay money to be able to do something. Like cut hair and that sort of, I mean, the market can solve these things. If you go to somebody who is terrible at cutting hair and has a beautician's license or barber license, whatever it is, or you go to somebody who doesn't have a license, but they're remarkable at cutting hair. They're like the Edward Scissorhands of barbers. The market will figure all that out for you. You know what I mean? The market takes care of all that stuff. But, you know, it's like you have to have a license to practice this or practice that, to put nail polish on people. And what happens is that people with the degrees or the certifications want that for everybody else because they had to have them. I mean, I think it makes the field more exclusive or something. But then, of course, the problem is a lot of people get shut out of those things for various different reasons. But anyway, on the point of college degrees, I think we have to come to a point in our time in which we agree college degrees, not for everybody, and maybe not for a lot of people, actually. I don't know how a college degree makes you a better cop. I don't know how a college degree makes you a better state worker in many different areas. I mean, obviously, you need a college degree if you want to go on to advanced school, like medical school or law school, because sadly, law schools require an undergraduate degree. But for the most part, I mean, if I'd had I don't have a degree in broadcasting. I learned this from the hard knocks of life, baby. But I know lots of people who have degrees. They went to the whatever school of broadcasting, and they don't have a job. And I don't know what I would have learned in broadcasting. And I'm glad I didn't actually go that road. I went the political science road, and I think it's helped me be a better talk show host. But if I had a degree in broadcasting or radio and TV or whatever else, I don't know how it would change things for me. In fact, it might maybe be worse. It might go along with all the indoctrination and everything else. I mean, let's face it, colleges are largely indoctrination camps. So I say good for Josh Shapiro. I think this is actually a good move. And it's hard for me to stomach that by saying those words, but, you know, it's something I agree with. All right, but on the subject of student loans, I want you to hear this interview. It was something that I did yesterday, but we didn't have a chance to air it, but it's very, very important for you. So this concerns your money, your taxpayer dollars here, and of course, Biden's student loan scheme. Take a listen. All right, welcome back. This is an amazing story, Shopping Spree 101, how refunds of federal loan overpayments leave student borrowers with your money to burn. James Varney from Real Clear Investigations. James, I read this piece and I just kept shaking my head because I never knew, with all the holidays on the school calendar and all the events and the homecomings and the tailgates and the rallies, there was another day on the school calendar, Refund Day.
Right. A lot of people, I guess, aren't aware of it. It happens once at the beginning of each semester. And what it is, it's the difference between the amount that someone has borrowed, so their loan amount, and what the college cost is. So, for example, if you and I are going for a semester and it costs $4,500, but we had a $5,000 loan, all of a sudden there's $500 left over. And in many cases, they're sending it to the student. And the students, I guess, understandably, sometimes look at this as just a windfall.
Well, I would look at it as a windfall, of course. You have one person from a Philadelphia student who said, I'm 23. If you give me a refund check, I'm going shopping.
Right. And I mean, you can understand that, right? I mean, if you and I find that money in our account, it suddenly looks like sort of free money. Now, of course, it does mean that you've now borrowed the full amount. If a student were to choose to not take the refund, they could reduce their loan amount and, in theory, the amount of money they'd have to pay back.
Right. But of course, we all know that at that age, you may not make the most concrete financial decisions, certainly not with thinking of the long term. But I guess people are confused about why they're getting this money in the first place. I mean, they're required to spend it on education related expenses. But why do they get the money back? I mean, is there not another method for doing this?
Well, I mean, the money is not, see, it's not being tracked by the Department of Education, right? So if you and I are the loan originators, which in this case is DOE, we're just keeping track of the total amount loaned. And then the school has its costs. So this gap, this small amount that's left over, it's different everywhere you might go. But it's not, nobody knows really how much it is. So I don't know that you can really find out another way of doing it unless the students were to start saying they're not going to take it. And then you could figure it out.
And we don't know how much money we're talking about, though. And you point out here that this debt that might be erased may have been used to pay for trips, video games, or gifts. And that is, for me, appalling. I mean, one kid went to Russia on vacation, I think.
Yes, that's true. The focus groups, I guess, that have been done about this, they told me, the people that ran them said that these refunds always came up organically. Like, people just brought it up as like, this is an amazing thing here. You know, this money that I just find. And of course, there's really no way to police that, right? Like, if the college administrators, you mentioned, Rich, that the money is supposed to be spent for educational expenses, right? Which is a pretty elastic term. But nonetheless, who's gonna police that? You can't really expect the college people to get everybody's checking accounts and go through all the different things that you might have spent the money on. And money is fungible, as we know. So once it's out there, it's out there. The only option you would have to not spending it is if you did not take the refund.
And James, 93% of the $1.7 trillion in student loan debt and the college loan program is actually in the red, because 93% of that $1.7 trillion is actually the government holds that. Is that right?
That's right. Yes. That was a part of Obamacare. Obama essentially made the federal government the sole provider of college loans, and the federal government backstops them. So, right. That is, in fact, that's taxpayers' debt. Or good, I guess you could look at it as a credit for taxpayers if you knew that everybody was going to pay it back. But you're right, that money is all on the government's books now.
Are any colleges out there figuring out a way to track this money?
So the only one that told me for sure, was Rutgers, who said that they were now developing some software, they don't have it yet, that would let them say exactly how much was refunded. I suspect that there are schools that know, but one of the things we found after the Department of Education told us that you had to go to the individual schools to get these amounts, they were very reluctant to talk about it. A couple of schools flatly refused to do it. And a couple others said, we just don't know. We don't have that kind of information. And then a handful of them never even bothered to respond to me at all. So I can't tell you right now how carefully anybody's keeping track of this money.
How does all of this play into Biden's student loan debt cancellation that right now is stuck in the courts, but and hopefully will be ruled unconstitutional? But how does all this play into it?
I'm not sure that it does actually play a big role in that. You're right that the first Biden plan to try and do this is in the courts. It was stopped in the lower courts. The Supreme Court's going to hear that case next month. They've now come up with another scheme tied to sort of disposable income and how much you might have to pay back depending on where you stand. I think it's 225% of the poverty level. They have all these complex kind of equations. But this, the refund part that you and I are talking about here, that's not something that originated in the Biden administration. It's been going on for years. So I think it is a separate thing from the total college loan debacle that we have on our hands.
Now, it's hard to know without getting real accurate figures, though, right, James?
That's true. I mean, what we did was we said, look, if it's 1%, it would have been around $820 million in 2022. It was in refunds.
Amazing. Well, listen, I appreciate your great work on this. James Vardy, Real Clear Investigations. It's a great site. I go there all the time. And you guys are really exposing some things that I think everybody needs to know about. So, James, thank you and have a great weekend.
Sure. You too, Rich. Thanks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.